Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
I'd like to welcome you to our program today. And if you'd like to follow along in your Bibles with the message, I'm going to be preaching from 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. And the title of this message is Jesus Christ the Righteous. Jesus Christ the Righteous. That comes from verse 1 of chapter 2, where the Apostle John, writing by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he says, "My little children," and that identifies who he's speaking of here, "children of God, believers, sinners saved by grace." That's who he's speaking of, "who walk in the light of truth." He dealt with that in 1 John chapter 1, the light. We walk in light as Christ and as the Lord is in the light. And in him is no darkness at all. And that's the light of Christ. It's the light of truth. And he says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not." Now, I'm going to make some distinctions here because of that statement there. And that's the goal of a believer, fighting sin. Paul wrote about that in Romans 7. He said, "What I desire to do, I cannot do." Well, what was it that Paul, the apostle, desired to do that he couldn't do? Well, he wanted to be perfect in himself. He wanted to be sinlessly perfect. He wanted to be like Christ. He wanted to follow Christ. And so John is saying here is that I'm encouraging you by this message, "These things I write unto you, that you sin not." The grace of God never encourages sin. Now, the grace of God gives sinners, those who are sinners saved by grace, it gives them comfort of salvation by grace. But that's not an encouragement to sin. Now, salvation is never conditioned on our sinning not. In other words, somebody might say, "Well, I'm no longer a sinner because I'm a believer." Well, no. We are all sinners, and he says this. Look at verse 1 again. "And if any man sin..." Now, the "if" there is not just in case you do sin. We are all sinners. And we need to understand this. There's only two kinds of people on this earth. I've said this so many times. But if we read the Bible, this is the way it is. Now, we have a lot of differences, but basically, in this idea of sin, and what is sin? It's falling short of the glory of God, and the glory of God is revealed in Christ. So whatever I'm trying to do by way of obedience, it falls short of the perfection of the law that can only be found in Christ. And he is my righteousness before God. But I'll get to that in just a moment. But when he says, "and if any man sin," he doesn't mean just in case you do. We all sin. And there's only two types of people. There are sinners saved by grace, perfect in Christ, based upon his righteousness imputed or charged to my account, but very imperfect in myself. I'm still a weak person, a sinner saved by grace. Perfect in Christ, but not in myself. My best efforts to keep to obey Christ fall short of the perfection that I can only claim and find in him before God. And the second types of people on this earth are sinners lost in their sins. Now, there's a lot of difference between those two groups and everything. We can talk about that. But you're either a sinner saved by grace, washed in the blood of Christ, clothed in his righteousness alone, or you're a sinner that's lost in your sins and still without hope. And so, if any man sin, some translations say since we sin or whatever, but here's the point, and this is the point of this message. In our state on earth as sinners saved by grace, we have an advocate with the Father. That advocate is one who stands in our place representing us, and that advocate with the Father. See, if we didn't have that advocate, we'd be on our own, lost in our sins, charged with our sins, you see, and we could not claim God as our Father. He'd be our judge, and He must punish sinners to whom sin is charged, to whom sin is imputed. That's why it's such a blessing when we read passages of Scripture like Romans 8:34 that says, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justified." And Romans 4 and verse 6, which says speaks of the blessedness of the man to whom the Lord imputes righteousness without works. You see, my only hope of coming to God as a loving Father who loves me and who means everything towards me as far as goodness and glory is to be found in Christ. Outside of Christ, God is a righteous judge who will damn me for my sins. And so we have an advocate. Now he's talking to believers here. This does not apply to everybody without exception. Understand that. And I'm going to show you that especially in the next verse. But he says, we have an advocate with the Father. And who is that advocate? Well, it's not just some mere man, because a mere man would be a sinner like me. And he could not be my advocate. He could not plead my cause. He wouldn't have anything upon which to base my defense if he was just a mere man. But who is he? He's the God-man, Jesus Christ the righteous. Now that's comforting to a believer. Jesus Christ the just one. Jesus Christ who is not only the righteous in himself, which he is, but Jesus Christ who is the advocate of his people, God's elect. That's who he's talking about now. He's not talking about everybody without exception. See, this is not some kind of a conditional salvation that God loves everybody and Christ died for everybody. And if you'll just do your part and accept him, accept the gift, then it kicks in and works for you. No, this is Jesus Christ, the righteous, who is the surety of his people. That means that before the foundation of the world, in the everlasting covenant of grace, God the Father chose and appointed God the Son, the second person of the Trinity, to be this advocate, to be my surety, to take responsibility for my sins in a legal way, my sins being charged to him. You know what a surety is. A surety, if you become surety for somebody who's taking out a loan, let's say buying a home or a car, and if you say, well, I'll be surety for them, that means you co-sign and you guarantee the bank or the loan institution, you guarantee them that if that person fails to pay the debt, you'll pay it. You will pay it. In other words, the debt is charged to you. Well, when it comes to salvation of sinners, there never has been a time in God's plan and purpose of salvation that the ones whom he chose to save could pay the debt, the sin debt. I have never been able to pay my sin debt. And so from the very beginning, God charged my debt to Christ. Now, how do you know which sinners that God charged that debt to Christ? It's those who come to faith in Christ. It is to those who believe, but believing is a gift from God. So Christ is my surety. Now this is what, when you read that word advocate, that means Jesus Christ stands on the side of and even in the place of His people, His church, His sheep, all who are brought to faith in Christ. And He pleads a meritorious work before the Father that ensures their salvation. Well, what is that meritorious work? It's the complete payment of their debt by Christ alone. What He did. And so as our surety, as the surety of His people, He took their debt as their, and that demanded that He do what is required to pay the debt. Now, what was required? Well, His obedience unto death. The Bible says He was obedient even unto death, the death of the cross. That's why He died. He didn't die just to be a martyr. He didn't die just to be an example. He did not die just as an expression of love. It was God's expression of love. I'll show you that in just a moment. To His people. Not to all without exception, but to His people. And He died to pay the debt. That's why it's called redemption. A redemption price had to be paid. And what was that debt? His blood. Well, God cannot die. God absolutely considered God the Son. So what did He have to do? He had to be made flesh. Perfect, sinless human flesh. And unite Himself to that human body and soul created for Him in the womb of the Virgin Mary by the Holy Spirit. And He became God-man. God manifest in the flesh. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2 that it behooved Him. That's the Greek word for debt, that word behooved. It means He was obligated by a debt to be made like unto His brethren. And who are His brethren? The children here. The children of God. You see, if we're children of God, sinners saved by grace, who have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, we're in a brotherhood, a spiritual family. And that's what He spoke of in John chapter 1. Our fellowship is with the Father and the Son, and we have fellowship one with another. We walk in the light of the gospel, the light of Christ. He is the light of the world. Now, he doesn't enlighten everybody without exception to the gospel, but He enlightens His people. You say, well, how do I know if I'm one of them? Do you want salvation God's way? And that's what you need to understand. Everybody wants to be saved. Everybody wants to live forever. But do you want it God's way and not your own way? You see, the gospel is salvation conditioned on Jesus Christ the righteous, who fulfilled all those conditions to ensure the complete salvation of all for whom He died. There will not be anyone in perishing in eternal death for whom Jesus Christ is advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous, for whom He died. Understand that. Now, so He's my surety, took responsibility to pay my debt to the law and justice of God. He's my substitute. As God in human flesh, He obeyed the law perfectly. He suffered unto death and died the death of the cross, putting away my sins, redeeming me by His blood. He's a ransom. Job said it, or Elihu said it, and Job agreed. I have found a ransom. And that ransom is Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is my sin bearer. He is my debt bearer. He was made sin, 2 Corinthians 5:21 means. How was He made sin? He was never a sinner. He was never contaminated or corrupted within because of my sin. He was never a sinner. He was the perfect God-man. But my sins were imputed to Him. He's the Lamb, sacrificial Lamb of God, who died for my sins. And His name is Jesus Christ the Righteous. Now, my surety, my substitute, and He is my Redeemer. Jesus Christ the Righteous. He paid the full redemption price. We sing a hymn in our church. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. He paid it all. He didn't just die for my past sins. He doesn't just die for my present sins. He didn't just die for my future sins. He died for all sin. Back in 1 John chapter 1, it says in verse 7, 1 John 1, 7, we read this, but if we walk in the light, or since we walk in the light. Now, again, the if there is not a condition that you must meet in order to obtain this blessing. It's an evidence of having already obtained the blessing by Jesus Christ. So if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, the children of God, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Past sins, present sins, future sins, sins of commission, sins of omission, the sin of Adam in our fall. He died for all sin. His blood, for Hebrews 10:14 says, by one offering, His one offering as the substitute of His people, by one offering, He hath perfected, completed forever them that are sanctified, those whom God set apart and gave to Him before the foundation of the world. He cried on the cross. He says, it is finished. What was finished? The redemptive work. Now, there were a lot of other things finished, but in our context here, it's the redemptive work of Christ. He paid it all. And He's Jesus Christ, the Righteous. I have no righteousness within myself. Now, I have spiritual life, a new heart, eyes to see. There were gifts from God given by Christ through the Holy Spirit in my new birth. But I'm still not yet perfect in myself. The only time that I will be able to say that I'm perfect in myself, in my thoughts, in my motives and goals and everything, is when I leave this body of death and go to be with Christ. But here's the point. Right now, as I sit here and preach to you, I am perfect in Christ based upon His righteousness imputed, charged, accounted to me. Now, that's a legal matter. Some people don't like to talk about it being, as they say, merely legal. My friend, there's nothing merely about this legal righteousness. It is a powerful thing. It's the ground upon which God justifies sinners. Think about that. God forgives all of my sins based upon the blood of Christ. That's a legal matter. Forgiveness. And God declares me to be righteous in His sight in Christ based upon His righteousness imputed. And that is so powerful that it always leads to spiritual life within. Those whom God legally declares righteous and forgiven based upon the blood of Christ, they will be born again. Because this righteousness, Jesus Christ the Righteous, He is not only the ground of my justification before God, He's also the source and the power of my sanctification by the Spirit, the new birth. So all whom God has justified legally will be raised from the dead spiritually. They'll be born again from above. Now look at verse 2 of 1 John 1, or 1 John 2. Now we have the advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the Righteous. And He says in verse 2, and He is the propitiation for our sins. Now that word propitiation, That's such an important word. It's only found in the King James Version of the Bible, the actual translation of the word, English translation of propitiation, is only found three times. But the idea, the truth of it, is all through both Old Testament and New Testament. And here's what a propitiation is. It is satisfaction to the justice of God. Satisfaction to the justice of God. And it says Christ, Jesus Christ the righteous, is the satisfaction to the justice of God for the sins of his people. You can look at propitiation this way. It is a sin-bearing sacrifice that brings satisfaction to the justice of God. And that's Jesus Christ the righteous. Now, he is the propitiation for our sins. Now, whose sins is Christ the propitiation for? Well, it's all the elect of God. And who are they? They are all those who are brought by God to seek the Lord and believe in him, given faith. But now let me show you the passages back over in Romans chapter 3. This word propitiation. Let me show you two other places that the word is used. In Romans chapter 3, the Apostle Paul, up to verse 20 here, is bringing in all people as sinners who are deserving of death and hell. And he goes back, he says, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that seeketh after God. There's none that understandeth. There's none that doeth good. That's the state of mankind as fallen in Adam and born into this world spiritually dead in trespasses and sins. And so there is absolutely no way, he says, that we can be saved, that we can be forgiven, that we who are sinful can be justified, declared righteous, by our works. And he says that, verse 20, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified, that is, forgiven and declared righteous in God's sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But he goes on in verse 21. Now listen, but now the righteousness of God without the law, that is, without our obedience, is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Now, what is this righteousness of God? It's Jesus Christ, the righteous. He's spoken of this righteousness of God back in Romans 1 and verse 17 as that which is revealed in the gospel. The gospel is the revelation of the righteousness of God. What is the righteousness of God? It is the entire merit of the obedience unto death of Jesus Christ as the propitiation of his people. And so that's made manifest. It's made known in the preaching of the gospel. He says in verse 22 of Romans 3, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of. Now, that's not faith in Christ. That's the faithfulness of Jesus Christ unto all, that is preached unto all and upon all them that believe. It's imputed to those who believe. Now, it's not imputed because they believe. It's not imputed based upon their believing. It's imputed, and they're believing evidences that God has imputed or charged it to them. For there's no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He says in verse 24, being justified freely, unconditionally, without a cause. So you see, it cannot be based upon anything a sinner does or is enabled to do. They're justified freely, unconditionally, without a cause, by his grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. It's based upon the redemptive work of Christ. And look at verse 25, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. He is the satisfaction. And therefore, when we believe in not only his person, but also his redemptive work. To declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, that's the Old Testament saints, through the forbearance of God. propitiation. Let me show you one other passage where that's used. It's in 1 John chapter 4, and it's speaking of the love of God. It says in 1 John 4 and verse 10, "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." You see that the love of God is to those for whom Christ was a propitiation. But now back in verse 2, of 1 John 2 and verse 2, he says, "And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." Now, my friend, what I'm going to tell you, I know a lot of people don't like to hear this. What does John mean, the whole world? Does he mean everybody without exception? Well, no, he does not mean everybody without exception in the whole world. He's talking about the whole world of God's elect, both Jew and Gentile. And that's the point that John is making. That was a major point in the Gospel of John, that salvation does not come to any person because that person is a Jew or a physical descendant of Abraham. God has a people all over this whole world, both Jew and Gentile, who will be saved. And let me show you that. Over in 1 John chapter 5, listen to this. He speaks, 1 John is a polemic. You know, it's talking about ideas that are totally opposite. Like the North Pole and the South Pole, they're on opposite ends of the globe. There are those who walk in light and those who walk in darkness. And here he says in verse 19 of 1 John 5, "And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness." Now, you know he's not speaking of everybody without exception there. The whole world in 1 John 2, 2 are those for whom Christ is an advocate. Those for whom Christ made propitiation. They are those who are justified, forgiven of their sins, and declared righteous before God. And they know this, that's evidenced by God-given faith, believing in Christ. I hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.